You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the Best Practices Show. If you're looking at a way to build a more fee-for-service practice, I have the solution for you. It's building an in-house membership program. And today we're going to be talking about how those best practices apply. Do not miss this. Grab a pen. We'll see you in a second. Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're growing a dental practice, one of the things you're really struggling with is how do you do this more in a fee-for-service environment? And you might be thinking, oh, I don't like this insurance. I don't like this insurance. Well, this is a non-negotiable. You have to do this. You have to build a membership program. And today I've got an incredible expert on that you are going to want to watch and listen to on how we create the best practices and what those are in successful membership programs that dentists have created in their practice. And you're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. If you're listening, do me a favor, grab a pen and then hit the share button and tell your friends about it because this is great information. Also, keep sending us suggestions for shows, things that you want to see, things you want to hear about, even with Dave, our guest today, or other things you want to see in the future. We'll keep lining those up because we got a great season ahead of us. We're up over 38,000 followers on Facebook. I don't even know how many of you have downloaded it on iTunes, but I really appreciate it. And just thank you so much. Now, today, you've been on the podcast before, Dave, and I have enjoyed our conversations. Even yesterday when I called you, I'm like, this is brilliant stuff. I really enjoy how you think. I love the company that you've created. This is very much an important thing in dentistry, one of the most important topics. Everybody's talking about it everywhere. But for the benefit of our, you know, our viewers and our listeners, if somebody doesn't know who Dave Monahan is, let's tell them, your story.
So, yeah, just real quick, I don't want to bore anybody, but so I'm CEO of Clear, and I established Clear we started the work in 2016. We launched it publicly in the beginning of 2018. And basically what problem we're trying to solve is making it easier for patients to get access to dental care and also make it better where a dentist interacts with a patient through a plan that they control, not a third party control. So that basically that's the problem. We did a bunch of market research prior to starting Clear. Those are the problems we saw is just patients getting access and then dentists, you know, having plans that made sense for their practice and offering them to their patients.
Yeah. And you guys have worked with over 1,000 dental practices and your research is tremendous. Like I love the research and we're going to get into that a little bit, but let's start at the basic level here, you know, because a lot of people still don't, there's still some confusion in this space about what a membership plan is. People call it a discount plan. They call it an in-house insurance plan. It's none of that. So, you know, what truly is a membership plan for a dental office?
Yeah, good question. It's a great place to start. So, and I agree that a lot of people can confuse it with a discount plan. And you, as a dentist, you don't want to offer a discount plan. A discount plan is a typical sort of plan where somebody pays $100 to a third party. They get access to discounts. You get horrible discounts, right? You're getting discounted 30 or 40% off your UCR. So that's just like an insurance plan. What a membership plan is it's got major differences from insurance and discount plans in that one is as a dentist, you control plan design, plan pricing, what's included, what's not included, right? You customize it based on, you know, what you do as a dentist, what makes sense for your practice, what makes sense for your patients. So that's a key aspect, is you control everything. There is no third party between you and the patient. The patient is paying you directly. Nobody getting away with either, you know, handling payments or, you know, setting rules and regulations and all kinds of stuff. So one is a direct relationship. You control it. And the third piece is, it makes it really easy for patients to get access to care where they don't have to go to a third party. They come directly to you. They basically, at the end of the day, it's a typical sort of subscription model. They pay you on a monthly or annual basis. You provide their preventative care, the two cleanings, their exams, their x-rays, and then some discounts off of other treatment. So keep it very simple, transparent, direct. Basically, it works for your practice. It works for your patients.
Yeah. And it's much more than just being a benefit to your practice and the patient. There's a bigger conversation that you have to have, you know, about the whole why people go to the dentist thing. And you hear everybody say this, you know, only half of the public goes to the dentist. And of the half, like 71% of them only go to the dentist because they perceive they have some type of benefits. But you're the research guy. Like, is any of that true?
Oh, yeah, it is. So if you look at insured patients versus uninsured patients, so insured patients come in on average about 1.4 or 1.5 times a year. And the reason they're doing that is obviously they have coverage. They get their cleanings, quote unquote, for free. They really don't because they're paying premiums for it. But the net is they have coverage. So they're coming in and getting those things done. It's much worse of a situation for uninsured patients. Uninsured patients come in about 0.5 times a year. So once every 2 years on average, they accept less than half the percentage of that, or half the amount of treatment that an insured patient accepts. So they just don't come in. When they come in, they don't accept treatment. And we went into a pretty detailed market research project to try to understand why. And it wasn't because they're afraid of the dentist or anything like that, or they had a lot of issues in the past. They stay away because one is because they don't have coverage and they feel exposed. And two is because they're afraid of costs. They don't understand costs. It's, you know, they just don't know what it is and they always assume the worst. So that's why people don't come in, is not having coverage and being afraid of cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, through this, we're going to talk about the benefits of the membership plan for the patient, but then we're also going to talk about membership benefits to the practice. But let's get into some of the best practices, because I mean, we could do an hour and a half on this one because I have a million, but I'm not the expert because I get to hear about these on the road. Now, I'm just going to say this before we get into it. I always ask people when I'm speaking at Hinman or Chicago and there's 300 people in the room, how many of you have this? Now, a third or less than a third, maybe 20% of the hands go up and I go, do you love it? And they go, yes. And then there's somebody in the back going, I don't. And I always inevitably go, okay, they go, it didn't work. And I go, how many patients? And they go, I got 4 patients on it and it didn't work. And I'm like, that's the problem. You got to get to a certain number so that you can see its validity, or you just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Has that been your experience too?
It is. Yeah. So as you said, you know, we work with thousands of dental practices and we see it all. We see the whole spectrum from, it's really hard for some practices to even get started. There's other ones that are off and running and just going, you know, sprinting from the opening. And what we've been able to do is take a look at that and say, why? Why is that happening? Why is one practice stalled? The other practice is running at light speed. And that's what I like to talk about, is sort of what we see in those practices that go and implement and have a lot of success with their membership plan.
Well, let's just go there because this is what I need. You know, let's start anywhere you want to start. If you want to start with typical issues or best practices, take us there.
Okay, cool. So just at a real high level, from a typical issues perspective, just to give you the side that we see where people stumble, and I'll get to best practices, you know, as we talk, but there's a number of things, is they don't understand how their membership plan is performing at all. So they don't know, like, things like how many uninsured patients that I come in this week, right? So let's say I had 10 uninsured patients come in. How many people actually bought the membership plan? And if they bought it, why did they buy it? Like, just a basic understanding of, we had a certain amount of opportunity walk in the door and we either sold them or did not sell them on the membership plan. Why? And there can be a variety of reasons, but that is, they don't know how they're performing. They can't track it. They have no idea, you know, one, how many people came in who were a candidate for membership plan, and number two, how many actually bought it. The other thing is, there's a lot of, when you do it on your own, there's a lot of paperwork to be handled. And we typically see where this process breaks down at like 25, 30, 40 patients, where if you're doing it manually, somebody's writing it down and they got a spreadsheet and, you know, they got to track that. And then when patients come up for renewal, they don't know who's coming up for renewal and they got to call them. They got to try to collect payment again and things like that. Like, there's just paperwork issues and management issues that occur. A poorly designed plan is another one we see that I think a lot of people think it's just a cookie cutter thing. You know, what was done in Los Angeles can be done in New York City, can be done in Boise, right? And it's just not true. Like, actually, at a very local level, you might be in even for a given state, zip code by zip code, and based on the practices, sort of way they treat their patients, the membership plan needs to change. It has to be different based on the personality of the dentist that's running the practice, the culture of the practice, the types of patients that are walking in the door. Like, you got to customize it for the needs of your practice and the needs of your patient. And a lot of practices we see just try to do a cookie cutter thing. I talked about this earlier, just real briefly, but the idea of patient self-service, auto renewal, things like that, we see a lot of practices get bogged down because somebody has to handle all the work. Somebody has to come up to the front desk and sign up, and somebody at the front desk has to be there to help them sign up. They have to hand them documents. When the renewal comes up, they have to, basically contact the patient and get them to renew and recollect their payment information. If there's questions about coverage, they have to call the practice. Like, just a lot of stuff like that that's just not automated, and the patients can't do things on their own.
Yeah. And it weighs you down. Like, even this morning, I had an unusual charge, like just some weird one. So you know what I had to do? I had to cancel my card. So now what I'm going to do while I wait for the new card is I'm going to have to call every single vendor, or they're going to be calling me going, hey, we need to update your credit card information. And in a dental office, if you don't have an automation for that, because you guys have payment recovery systems, when a payment fails, it relieves the team member from having to do that. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. That gets into another problem. So if you don't have those types of systems in place, the office team gets tired of managing the plan, and they just sort of, they say, well, that's going to require me to go do something manually outside of what I typically do. That's going to require me to support the patient in a way that maybe I'm not that comfortable with, or, they're now sort of, they have another burden, right, that they have to manage, and it's a manual burden that they have to manage. And things like, to your point, like, let's say a credit card gets stolen or lost or something somewhere during the membership, they now need to go track that patient down. First, they got to figure out that happened and there's an issue and the payment stopped. The second thing they have to do is then contact that patient. Well, there's systems. I mean, obviously, Clear is one of them, but there's systems that can do that automatically, contact the patient automatically, get them to update their credit card. You don't have to worry about it. Things like that. Like, just that whole burden of managing the program typically, we'll bring a practice down and not be successful with a membership plan.
Yeah. Now, I want to just add some perspective, because if you're a young dentist, let's say you're a 32-year-old dentist and you're watching this and you're like, okay, well, so what? Once you get this going, there's a chance, like, we've got dentists that have 500 patients on these things or more. You're talking, if they're doing $30 a month, that's $15,000 a month in recurring revenue. That's a lot of transactions happening. And I call those transactions, kind of under the clouds where people don't notice them. That's a lot of work. It's also a lot of revenue for the practice, but that's not really the benefit. But I'll just say $15,000 pays a lot of supply bills. It pays a lot of rent bills. It pays a lot of debt bills. Don't throw away that at all. And then these younger dentists, this is the thing I say to them, and I can't help myself. Like, when I run into a 34-year-old dentist, he's like, I got 500 patients. I only have 1,400 patients, but 500 of them are, I'm like, that means 500 of them are literally fee for service. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could sell that in 30 years and go, these are real patients. They're alive and they keep coming, and they come at the rate of 1.45 times, then 0.5 times or whatever. You could actually flip the table on some of those stats. So I love, love, love this conversation. And I'm just saying, if you're a dentist watching this or listen, don't even think about this. Like, don't even debate it for a second. Just do it. And you're going to see, once you get through the weeds, you're going to be great. So what other, other things that come up are compliance issues too. Like, that's a big one.
Yeah. So there's a lot of laws, regulations you need to follow. And by the way, it's typically not the ones people think you need to follow. So a lot of times,
what do you mean by that? Wait.
So a lot of times people will confuse, as we talked about earlier, membership plans with discount plans. And and I talked a little bit about the contrast, but let's talk about, I'll further dig into that. So with a discount plan, it's a third party managing a network of dentists, setting pricing, right? They set the discounts, they collect the fee from the patient, they collect that fee and they keep it, they don't pass it to the dentist. So there's regulations in place, and every state has these regulations that say, if you're going to do that, if you're going to manage a set of dentists, a network of dentists, and you're going to control pricing, and you're going to take payment from a patient, you need to be regulated relative to what they call discount medical plans laws. And so there's a bunch of regulations that go along with that. Now, let's contrast that with a membership plan. A membership plan is, you're the practice offering care directly to the patient. You're collecting the fee. You're not managing a network of dentists. It's just you, right? those, that's a separate set of laws. You don't actually have to follow the discount medical plan laws, but there's laws out there you have to follow. So there's state laws, state dentistry laws, or state insurance laws. You got to just make sure you don't step on the insurance laws and become an insurer. There's federal laws. There's like consumer protection laws. There's HIPAA laws. Those are the ones you need to follow. There's a list of maybe 10 or 15 of them that you need to follow. But a lot of people get confused about even which laws they need to even, you know, consider.
Right. Now, I can deal with the laws, but here's let's point out the obvious. Wait. You're cutting out the middleman. Okay. Is that what you're saying? You're also creating a plan in which these patients can only go to one dentist. Who is it? It's you. Wait. Oh, you're the administrator of the plan too. You get to decide what care is the best for patients. Like, the list goes on and on and on. When you talk about the reasons you got into dentistry, one of the biggest reasons you got into it was your ability to be autonomous and make the best decisions for patients. And what a great fit this is for the future of your practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So cool. Any other issues that you see? You know, poor team experience. We kind of talked about that a little bit. Poor patient experience too. That comes up where they go, I signed up for this thing. I don't know what it is. And the team member will go, I'm new here. I don't know what it is either. You know?
Yeah. So think about your own experience as a consumer in every other part of your world, right? What is, when you sign up for a subscription or membership, what happens? Well, it's typically online, right? I shouldn't say typically. It's always online, right? There is a process where you get notified about, okay, you have officially, you, the benefits are in place now, and here's a document that the documents those. Here's an account, an online account, where you can go take a look at what you bought, right? Here's a receipt. Here's a plan document. Here's a membership card. Like, you're used to, you get access to like a portal or something online that proves you bought this and you understand what the benefits are. And then you can manage it moving forward. So let's say if a credit card gets stolen, you can update your credit card and things like that. So contrast that experience with, if you're doing it on your own and somebody walks in the door and says, hey, sign me up, and somebody puts it down onto a spreadsheet, takes your credit card and says, here's a brochure, right? You walk out of the door saying, what did I just buy? Like, what? Right. I mean, I got a brochure here. I lose the brochure and now I got 12 months of really nothing, right? Like, what is this thing? So the net is that experience, patient experience, their expectations have changed a lot over the last, let's say, 10 years. And they expect it just to be online, simple. As soon as I sign up, I'm a member, I'm running, I have access to something where I can manage it. And it's all digital and I can do it on any device.
Yeah. And I would imagine you guys have some kind of back-end infrastructure that if I sign up through you, you're reminding me of what I paid for. And there's still, do you do that? I mean,
Yeah, and there's a bunch of legal requirements you have, by the way. Like, when somebody signs up for your plan, you have to give them a plan document that details everything that's part of the plan.
And okay, so what is that? That's something that they sign off on, that's all the details and regulations behind
exactly. It? Yeah, okay. It just details everything about the plan. Like, and I can get into a bunch of stuff like that, but you have to make sure when you sign somebody up to something like this and they pay for it, that you've checked the boxes from a legal perspective. But to your sort of question and point, you also want to make sure you can notify them of certain things happening. Again, there's a legal, you know, ramifications of not doing this properly. So, for example, when they come up for renewal, if you look across all 50 states, there's renewal notifications that are, you know, legal renewal notifications for any subscription you sell to somebody. And sort of the common denominator is 45 days prior to a renewal happening, you have to let somebody know about it. And so, you know, if you have a system like Clear, that the system does it, right? You don't need to think about it. Now, if you're managing on your own, let's say you get up to, we have practices with thousands of patients on their membership plan. Can you imagine managing a renewal notification manually for 1,000 patients?
No.
Right? You'd be doing it every day.
You'd have to hire somebody to do that.
Yeah. Or creating a plan document for them. Or if there's a change to their plan, notifying with the change, right? Getting their approval for it. Like, there's all kinds of things like that that just has to happen. So from a, you know, sort of the core of this question around patient experience, like, the patient just expects that to happen, right? They expect it to happen digitally, but they can look at it anytime they want from any device. If you're doing it manually, you're calling people and things like that, it's not a great experience for the patient at the end of the day. And by the way, you're probably not compliant with laws that are applicable.
Right. So let's just say I'm a 32-year-old dentist. I'm watching this podcast. I've listened to four other podcasts about the same thing. I've been to seminars. I'm sold. I'm in. how the heck do I start this? I want to get this going. Where do I start? What are the best practices? How do I ensure this is going to succeed with best practices?
Why don't we jump in? I know it took us a little long to get here, but let's talk about best practices. And we touched on some of those, but just to sort of go through, you know, the ones I see that are really important. Again, these are the practices that do really well with our membership plans. Number one, assign somebody to manage the plan for your practice. And that sounds like such a simple statement, but you'll be surprised at how many practices don't do that. And this person's job is obviously get it set up, get the materials put in place, make sure everybody on the team has been trained and understand what's going on. And then it's just as important, once that's all done, is measuring what's going on and having a goal. And then maybe in a daily huddle or a weekly huddle, whatever, just making people aware, hey, we signed 10 patients up this week. Next week, we got, 50 patients coming in that aren't insured. Let's try to get 20 of them signed up. Like, just simple stuff like that, and show everybody the progress that's happening. It's critical to the success of a plan.
Right. Now, here's what's happening. If there's a team member watching this, they know this is true. 99% of the offices watching this are going to go, Dave, easy for you to say, but I work at the front, and what the dentist is going to do is say, watch this podcast. Oh, you're the administrator. Here you go. And they're going to go, I have enough to do. Like, and you do this to me all the time. You go, go. You do it. Now, if I'm a team member and I'm responsible, do you guys have support? Is there, how would I even learn how to do this other than just kind of figure it out on my own?
Yeah. So for us, we have everything you need, basically. So when you sign one, we have a consultation with you to help you design the plan to meet your needs of your practice, meet your needs of your patients. Like, we make sure that that design process, pricing process, you're supported all the way through. Once that happens, then we send you all the materials for your office, the patient brochures, the posters, the buttons, whatever you need, you get all that. But just as important, you have a portal, which is showing you exactly what's going on with your plan, who signed up, how much you're paying, where the payments are, whether they've been deposited into your bank account, what benefits each one of the patients has, all that stuff, everything you need. You can just look at the dashboard whenever you want. Like, let's say prior to the huddle, you look at it, okay, we signed up 10 patients this week, or, we have 20 patients in total so far. Like, you can see all of that. And then we have a support team that's always there. You can call them, you can chat with them, whatever you need to do. We can contact with them anytime you want to get the support you need.
Okay, so I'm committed to crossing over that bridge. That's awesome. Now, this happens in every practice. It's called violent resistance. It's usually a dentist who's like, fee for service, do the right thing for the patient. I don't like insurance. And what they're going to hear, no matter what you say, is, oh, now you want to bring an insurance program into our office? And it does take some time getting everybody on the same board. I mean, even if you're a partner, like, I've had partners go, I want to do this. And the partner will go, why the heck would you want to give away all of our fees? Like, you got to get everybody on board with this. Like, that's a big best practice. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. So getting everybody on board is absolutely one of the other best practices. So including, obviously, the dentist, and everybody bought into the value of it. Like, if they're not bought into the value of it, you might as well just not start. And so the key here is to understand what happens with a patient once they get on a membership plan. And we, by the way, supply all the data around this. But so you have a set of uninsured patients that come to your practice. We know on average they're coming once every 2 years. And the dentist swear to me that's not true in their practice. And we'll say, just send us your practice management software data. We'll look at it. And you won't believe, Kurt, how consistent that number is. Because the ones they see are the ones coming in, right? And so they assume, oh, these are my good patients that come in all the time. But if you look at your total base of uninsured, most of them aren't coming in very often. So one is you gotta believe and you gotta trust that they're gonna come in more often, and they will. Like, if they buy a subscription and they're paying on a monthly or annual basis, so that subscription includes two claims, you're gonna see them twice. Right. And so what happens when they come in? One is, obviously, they're being more loyal to you. They're coming in more often. But they're in a chair, they're accepting more treatment. So we see them accept 50 to 75% more treatment when they're coming in, because one is they're coming in more often, but two is because they have access to quote unquote discounts now that, enable them to, save some money when they do procedures, and it makes them feel good. They have coverage. So they trust your opinion more and your recommendations. And so that's what you have to let that go and flow. And then you see the ROI of the program over time. And to your point, from the very beginning, you need to believe that, the team needs to believe it, the dentist needs to be behind it, and they all need to be on board.
Amen, brother. Amen. And then, you know, you and I talked about this. A lot of times the word discount comes up a lot. And I, you know, one of the things we do as coaches is just reprogramming that phrase. Now, let's just say this. Everybody loves a deal. I love a deal when I go anywhere, but I like the word savings. And as a benefit, because you're a member, a trusted member, a one that we really value, you get an additional savings that others don't. So that's really how you're presenting it. So don't think of it as you're just giving fees away like crazy. In that respect. Now, let's go to the next step, which is you're talking about the data. The data is often the thing that calms the dentist the most to go, are you kidding me? We got like 70 patients on that. Like, set a goal. And I come up with arbitrary goals. Now, you're the real data guy, but like a lot of times, please don't shoot me when I say this. I'll go, guys, just create an X and Y axis graph. And let's just set a goal to get to 50. And then, doc, when you get to 50, take everybody out for sushi as a collective. We did it type of a thing, you know, and they're like, oh, that would be easy. So every day, just talk about how we're trending. Is that a good thing to say to an office or not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, you summarized it perfectly. Keep them simple, right? Don't make this thing complicated. So in what we'll typically coach a practice to do is, look, your goal is over the course of, let's say, 12 or 24 months is to convert half of your uninsured patients to the membership plan, right? So that's a good long-term goal. Awesome. But let's not get so complicated thinking out 12 months. How many uninsured do you have coming in next week? So let's say the answer is 10. All right. Given that long-term goal of wanting to sign up half, let's see if we can sign up five of them this week. That's it. That's all.
That's brilliant because, okay, no, here's what you're doing. You're putting it in a box where we can understand it, because here's what comes up for me or our coach. Okay. They're like, well, I can't present this to everybody. I mean, some people have insurance. Some people have been paying great fees. What you're saying, and I just heard you say, if I heard it, like, just pull a report. This week we have 10 uninsured patients. Those are the people we're going to specifically market that to. Is that what you're saying? And let's
absolutely
let it go.
It's that simple. Absolutely. Yep.
Dave, you just made my life more simple. No, it's easy. That's easy.
And then do that again next week. All right.
Yeah. Well, a lot, you know how this is. A lot of times we just overthink things. You know, dentists overthink all the details. And I get it. There's a lot going on in a dental practice, but that is a great idea. Absolutely great idea. Now, as far as, you know, that's the first tier. What about renewals or payments? You want to set any goals? Well, maybe just do the first set of goals and then set those later advanced goals.
Yeah, just sign people up in the beginning. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
Sounds good. Sounds good. One other thing. Well, not, I got to get stop saying one other thing because there's like 90 other things. But we talk about great user experience for your patients and team. I mean, you got to be consistently committed to that, not only for your patients generally, but I think a great thing in the morning huddles to talk about, how is the experience in our membership program? How's it working? I love it. So, Dave, I have a team that does this. They'll go, I sold two of them yesterday. And everybody go, how'd you do that? Well, they're in hygiene and they needed to do blah, blah, blah. And I just said, you know what? If you do our membership program, it's free today or whatever. And they're like, oh, you did that. And then they collectively learn and create better user experience for everybody, team members included.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we include in our package when you join Clear is you get a welcome kit. And the welcome kit includes sort of talk tracks for each person on the team. So we have a talk track for somebody at the front desk, a talk track for the hygienist, and a talk track for the dentist. And the reason we did that is we did a bunch of market research to understand how do patients react to membership plans. They've never seen them before. They don't know what they are, right? And what we learned was that the consistency of talking about the membership plan is really important. So when the front desk talks about it, it's similar conversation as the hygienist, a similar conversation as the dentist. And it's sort of hitting on the pain points we know that a patient has who's uninsured, which is they're afraid of cost. They want transparency. They want to be getting a deal. Like, there's no doubt about that. And they want to feel included and, you know, build trust and be loyal to the practice. So they're looking for an inside sort of thing. And so there's consistent talk parts of the talk tracks that are consistent from person to person. But here's another really important best practice is each person talks to the patient about why it's important to them. So let me give you an example. Okay. Why would it be important to a front desk that a patient signs up for this? Because they care about their patients. They want them to get the care they need and, you know, improve their oral health. And so as somebody at the front desk, we have a program now that does that for you, right? And as a front desk person, knowing you and caring about you as a patient, this is something I recommend and I feel it'll help you, right? And I'm glad I can help you. So that's an example. Hygienist. Why would a hygienist have a personal reason to offer the membership plan to the patient? Because they're going to come in more often. Their cleanings are going to be easier. they're going to have less problems. And as a hygienist, I really worry about those things. And so I care about those things and I tell you about those things. And that's personal to me. The dentist, why would they care? One of the reasons can be, but by the way, this plays really well with patients. I'm sick of dealing with a middleman. I want to provide care directly to you, right? This enables me to do that. I can improve your oral health. You and I can make decisions. We don't need a third party to tell us what to do. It makes my job easier. It cuts down my costs and my hassles, and I can pass those savings to you. And by the way, I can provide better care because it's direct care. And so don't shy away from it's good for you as much as it is good for the patient. The patients like to hear that, and they're happy that it's good for you on a personal note.
That's awesome. I love that. I absolutely love that. So, and it's absolutely key to have support for team members and how to say this to patients, because oftentimes they're like, you don't know my practice. And you're like, no, this happens everywhere. It's not just unique to your practice.
So, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, another best practice is like really making this work for your patients and your like customizing it for wherever you're at on the journey. You know, we're coaching young dentists that are just getting started, and some of them have like all PPO. Then we've got mature dentists that are 100% fee for service, you know, so you got to realize where you're in this journey and customize this so it fits your vision long-term, correct?
Absolutely. So you need to think about your practice itself. You know, what type of patients do you have coming in? What's your culture? Like, how do you position yourself as a practice? We have practices who have built a membership plan because they want to bring a lot of new patients into their practice. And it'll be, they discount it drastically, like the subscription. They might charge $200 for a subscription. You get two clinics, two exams, two x-rays. It brings patients in the door. And then when they get them in the door, you know, they know they're going to accept treatment. It's all going to pay for itself over a long period of time. That's one strategy. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or different, but it's a strategy, and some practices implement that, and that's based on what they're trying to do as a practice. We have other practices that will price the clinics, exams, x-rays at $500. And what it is it's a white glove treatment that we're a high-end practice. We value service. When you come in here, you're going to get the best service you possibly can. And we want to make money off of that cleaning, exam, x-ray, and those preventative care visits. And so we're going to price that high. But our clientele likes that, and they want that. And that's something that's valuable to them. I mean, it's classic consumerism, right? It's, you need to really understand your patient base, what you're trying to do as a practice, and design your plan to meet those two things. And what, I mean, it goes all the way to the level of what type of care plans you offer. And everybody, you know, some people think you just offer one. No, you offer multiple. You offer one for kids. You offer one for adults. You offer one for perio patients. We have ones where they're just offering for older adults. We have other ones where they're offering it for, you know, teenagers. And, you know, we have ones that are VIP level. So they'll include things like whitening in the package. Like, really customize it for your patients and your practice.
Yeah. Now, when we go into customization, I love all that. And we're probably speaking primarily to a GP, but I do get this question, and I'll just dish it to you. But I'm an orthodontist, or I'm a periodontist, or I'm an oral surgeon. Does this apply to me at all? And what would be your answer?
So the way we've implemented that is it does apply to you in that you should join your general dentist's, whoever you're, you know, typically there's affiliations, right? There's referrals back and forth, things like that. So what we enable practices to do is add specialists to their plan. So as an orthodontist, if you have an association with 10 general dentists, be on their plan and offer a discount for your services as part of that plan. So as a patient, I buy it from the general dentist, but on there is the orthodontist, which is you, and you're offering, say, a 10 or 15% discount or whatever you want to offer. Who am I going to more than likely go to? It's probably going to be you. And so just join, this sort of simple answer is join the general dentist's membership plans.
Stop right there. Drop the mic. That's brilliant. That's like, don't even go any further. If you're an orthodontist, what a great way to say, hey, look, I want those fee-for-service patients too, and I'm going to give them an incentive to come here and honor what you have. Like, it's brilliant. Yeah. And then your first thought is, well, I'm going to be giving all this weight. No, later on, we're going to do a fee adjustment, take a look at all the costs, you know, and figure all those pieces out. But really what you need is you need that type of, oh my gosh. All right, we're going to do a whole nother one on how this applies to specialists and be super specific. You know, another best practice, again, this is not only a challenge, but it's also a best practice, is how do I make this easier for my team? Because when I walk by them, either at the front or hygiene, they're ready to stab me with, you know, like even in here, like, don't you dare give me one more thing to do. So how do I make this easier for them?
It's just, the net is, one of the big things is to make it patient self-service. So the patient can sign up on their own. Here's a simple example, right? Rather than having them come up and have to bother somebody at the front desk all the time, the patient coming up to sign up, just enable them on their phone to sign up. And, you know, we do things like the patient brochure itself has a little QR code on it. All you have to do is the patient just opens their camera on their phone, waves it over it, and they sign up. Like, it's that it's, they can sign up in a minute through that.
Do you have to put your credit card information in right there? I mean, you do.
So, okay. So basically, you wave it over. It brings up the plan. We ask you a couple questions. You basically, I want to purchase that plan. You enter your credit card information and you're done. You're now a member. And then, so think about that for a second. Like, now somebody doesn't need, you can just say, hey, just wave that, your camera over that QR code, right? I'm a little busy over here right now. When that happens, think about this. So now the system itself then updates. So on the practices side, as a front, you know, somebody at the front desk who's trying to manage this plan, you see in the portal, they've been added to your plan. So you know right away, and the payment has been processed and put into your bank account. You don't need to do anything. There's no payment to chase, nothing like that. So that's a good example. Another example is these notifications. So if a card gets stolen again, or lost, or whatever, or somebody changes cards, you're going to get a notification. The patient's going to get a notification automatically that says, you know, somebody needs to update the credit card information. And we ask the patient to do it. If they don't do it, then we'll make sure that, you know, somebody needs to talk to that patient. But you don't need to think about it. It's just happening in the background. When renewals come up, we did automatic notification. We renew patients automatically. It just happens. And our renewal rate's over 80%. Just think about that now. Again, patient self-service. The ability to just have renewals happen without anybody touching a patient. Like, those are the things that, coming back to the best practice, making the experience really good for your team is critical to this thing long-term being successful.
Yeah, you're automating the whole thing. You're putting the consumer in the hands. You know, you're putting the work. Just like when I go to Southwest, I have to tag my own bags instead of them hiring a whole bunch of other people to do it, or creating the line that I got to get into Delta where, you know, I take all, like, this is brilliant. It's lowering your team compensation costs also, because the patient's doing all the work. What a great thing to do. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Now, you know, in that, are you doing any red carpet service for your members, or, you know, is that kind of where you're going with this type of thing?
The whole self-servicing, by the way, is becoming a preference of consumers, not a, like, that's more work for me. Like, I don't have to, it's sad, it's a little sad commentary, but I don't have to deal with somebody else. I can do it on my own, right? And that's self-service is becoming a expectation of applications out there now versus a burden. So that's sort of the just experience level. But as far as the red carpet is concerned, what we mean by that is the best practice is treat these patients like gold. They are going to be your best patients. These are the people who are going to be paying you year in and year out on a subscription basis. They're going to be accepting twice the amount of treatment of your typical patient, right? They're going to be more loyal to you. They're going to be coming more in more often. And it doesn't have to be a lot from a red carpet perspective. Shake their hand, thank them for being a member of your practice, right? Give them, if some practice will give them a little gift, they'll have a little basket there and say, hey, you can take one. And I get the comments sometimes from practices and say, well, what about my other patients? What are they going to say when they see that? And I say, I hope they notice, and I hope they ask why that patient was handled that way, because there's your opportunity to sell them on the membership plan. So it's really important. Those little touches mean a lot, and it makes the patient feel good that they're a member. It's going to keep them around a longer time, renewing and being part of your practice.
Yeah. And when we talk about, you know, the patients being in control of their experiences, I'm just going to say this, like, we're in a 24/7 world where when I have a question, I want to be able to call somebody. My wife and I were out for dinner the other night and she can't see as well. And I'm like, well, let's just find you a LASIK doctor. We looked up the best one you could schedule online. I bypass, oh, she's got an appointment tomorrow. She's so excited to go. And like, she got all these now, here's where I'm going with this is that dentists are struggling, because you're hearing me say this and you're like, oh gosh, that means we got to work extended hours. No. Part of this piece, I would imagine, Dave, is that when I have a question as a patient, I need to be able to call somebody and get support. And you guys, now this is specific to you, obviously, but you guys have got support for these people when they call, instead of them calling your office saying, hey, I need to talk to somebody about my membership. Is that what you're talking like?
Yeah, so we have a mix of practices who say, hey, we'll handle it. And we have other practices say, hey, you guys handle it. And we have basically the support team to handle the calls from the patient if the practice wants us to handle those. So the key is to have somebody available when somebody has a question, because think about it, you are now managing, right, a plan. And the person who bought that plan expects support relative to what they bought. And if they have a question, they have an issue, they want to talk to somebody. So when a patient joins Clear, for example, we present both the Clear support line and the Practices support line, which is typically just the front desk. But if they, let's say they try to call you and you're busy and you nobody can answer the phone or whatever, or it's maybe you're closed for the day, they can call us and get somebody right away who will either answer the question or say, hey, that question I need to get answered by the practice, but we'll follow up with you and make sure you get your issue addressed.
Okay, cool, cool. So again, I'm sold on this. I'm getting my systems in place. I got all this now. How do we sell it? Because first of all, as a dentist, I don't like the word sell because we don't even do a good job of selling dentistry as it is. And now we got to, Dave, you're going to make us sell this. Like, how do I do this? Because nobody likes to be sold, blah, blah, blah. You like the words promote, right?
Yeah. So the key here is to understand, everybody needs to understand you're not selling, right? What you're doing is presenting something to the patient that we know they want. So all of our market research, we've done, you know, focus groups, we've done one-on-one interviews, we've done national surveys. And what the patients are telling us, the uninsured patients are telling us is, I feel exposed when I walk into that dental practice. It's such a consistent feeling. And the thing I try to relate it to is when you walk into a mechanic and you got an issue with your car and they tell you you need something and you don't even understand what that part is, but it's going to cost you $1,000. You have no idea how to make that decision, right? And so you typically would do one of two things. You either say, no, I don't want to do it. And you walk out feeling like, oh my God, I might break down on the way home, right? I'm going to be stranded. And, or you say, okay, do it. And what you're feeling, I just got screwed, right? They're charging me a lot of money. I have no idea if that was the right price to pay. And I just feel bad. So neither outcome's a good one. So let's relate that to dentistry. So not as your patient's in your office, in your chair, and you're telling them they need this treatment, that treatment, that treatment. They have no coverage. They don't know what pricing is. They don't know what the treatment you just talked about, they probably don't understand, right? So the net is, don't think you're selling the membership plan to them. Think you're solving a problem for them, which is they're in your office for a reason, right? They want good oral care. They want, you know, good oral health. And now you're giving them the opportunity to get that in terms that they want. They want simple. They want transparent. They want comprehensive, right? So as far as selling it is, you're not, you know, selling, quote unquote, you're just presenting a solution to them that we know they want. And then as far as promoting, you need materials in your office, on your website, you know, social media works. Like, there's certain things you want to make sure, but just get the word out and feel, the key is to feel that you're providing a solution. You're not trying to sell.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a natural question comes up. What if my insured patients see that, like, you're going to help me with how to say they can't have both because you can't double dip on these, correct?
You can't. Yeah. So the only time it becomes relevant for insured patients is when they run out of benefits, which happens all the time, by the way. Right. But the net is, yeah, they have, you don't want to double dip. You don't want them to have double coverage. But on the insurance side, what we've seen is going into this, we weren't planning on, you know, doing, you know, sort of unseating insurers, but we have a lot of practices that are doing two things. They're getting rid of those discount plans that they offer at their front desk. So why offer that, right? I mean, if you have a membership plan, right, it's a better deal for your patient to buy the membership plan. It's a better deal for you, right? It's better care. Why offer them something that hurts you, right? By offering these crazy discounts where you can't make anything. And also, the patient needs to pay a third party now, let's say $100, for nothing, right? Just to get access to your discounts. What the heck's that? So one is, we're seeing almost every practice put a membership plan and gets rid of those discount plans. And the other thing is, we're seeing practices drop the worst of the insurance plans. Again, not by design, but we're learning is they always wanted to get rid of those things. And now's their opportunity to do that. And it's not right away. You don't think you're just going to stop insurance right away. They'll give those patients on those plans where they're going to drop them a 6-month warning or a 12-month warning and say, hey, we have this membership plan now. When you come up for renewal on that insurance plan, we suggest drop that and come into our membership plan.
Yeah. And patients will figure this out because when you show them your membership plan and its benefits, and they're going to go, a lot of them will say, well, this is a better deal than what I'm actually paying for through insurance. Correct.
It's always a better deal. Yeah.
Always, like 100% of the time.
Oh yeah. So
give me some perspective on that. Like,
yeah. So yeah, let's go through it. So about, and this is a little separate from that first comment, but about a third of patients who buy insurance never use it. So a third.
Really? Wow.
That's stat number one. Stat number two is 70% of patients who buy it and use it pay more for the insurance than they get out of it.
Well, they'd have to in order for this to work for the insurance company. Exactly. So wait. I'm making money on the first stat you gave me. Then if I'm an insurance company, I'm definitely making money on the second stat you gave me. What's the third stat?
And here's the kicker, right? So let's say I'm starting to make, as a patient, I bought it. It's starting to return some, you know, money to me. You know what they do? They cap it.
They
So the cap is, let's say, $1,000, right? So, and then they have all these caveats. They have 10 pages. Why do they have 10 pages of caveats? Because if I was starting to actually get my money back, one is they're going to cap it, let's say, at $1,000 of benefits for that year. And two is if I got a crown, I can't get another crown for like 5 years, right?
And now I'm just angry that you just gave me those three stats if I'm a dentist, because that's that you're pulling back the curtain on what insurance companies do.
It's we could have an hour just on this, but the net is that's why membership plans are becoming so popular and successful, is it gets rid of all that, right? You don't need that. There's no reason for it. It's just an antiquated way of thinking about dental coverage. And I think the net is once people see the other side and they see how they can actually work, then they say, why did we ever do that? Like, there was no reason to do it. There's none. I can't come up with one reason why you'd want to pay a third party to manage a plan for you, dictate to you what, you know, care you need to provide or not provide, cap your patient, have 10 pages of caveats about what they can do and can't do, and they can't understand it. Like, there's just so many, you just like, and then it doesn't pay off for anybody, right? You got a tiny percentage of people where it actually pays off.
That's brilliant. Absolutely. Guys, I told you he was brilliant. This is awesome. Okay. So, and then, you know, obviously last piece is just kind of making sure it's all work and compliant. I got questions about HIPAA, FTC regulations, all that stuff. So you got to make sure, are you doing that once a year, once a quarter? What do you do like to make sure?
I don't know how you do it if you're doing it on your own. I'll tell you how we do it. So we basically have three law firms that we use who, well, first, when we set up Clear, they went through all the regulations and said, you need to put these things in place. And I'll get to that in a second. And then what they do is we monitor the regulations to see if anything's changing over time. And every once in a while, something will flare up. And what I'll do is I'll reach out to the regulators themselves and ask them questions and try to figure out what's going on to make sure if there's something that we need to address, we address it. So that's how we handle it. And what's come from all that is there's a lot of things built into the platform to make it compliant. So you mentioned a few things like HIPAA, FTC laws, consumer protection laws, data privacy laws. You have, you know, federal and state dentistry laws and insurance or healthcare insurance laws and like that. So you got to, you know, we spent hours on just this topic, but that is, you need to make sure you want it when you first set it up, you put it in play, all those things in place, and second, that you monitor and make sure you stay up with them as they change. And just some examples, I mentioned some of these, but things you would need to put in place if you're going to do it on your own, things like you have to give the patient a plan document. Plan document has to outline everything that they bought and what's included, what's not included, and all that stuff. So that's one thing. The other thing is you got to give them notifications for a certain, all kinds of things. So when they first buy the plan, you got to notify them of the purchase, give them a receipt, give them the ability to cancel. They have to have a 30-day money back guarantee on any subscription they buy, unless they use the service in the first 30 days. You have to give them a 40, as I mentioned before, 45-day notice before they renew. I mean, it's just sort of one thing after another. It has to be sitting on a HIPAA compliant platform where the data is protected. You have to have HIPAA compliant systems in place and processes in place in your office. And I know that, you know, that, you know, practices know that from other things they're doing, but the membership plan has to follow those rules as well. And so on and so forth. There's a bunch of things like that. So my guidance to anybody who's trying to do it on their own is make sure you've done all the homework up front. You've hired some attorneys, you figured it out, and then monitored it over time.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, there's so much to cover, and I want to do so many of these with you because I think this is absolutely a non-negotiable piece of creating a great practice in the future. Now, again, one of the things I see, we even see the DSOs creating their own, you know, so like this is not like a fad, and I can see why, because they're all trying to negotiate their own deals with insurance companies. And they're like, look, we're going to create our own system inside where we can retain our own patients. And this is a way that you can level the playing field in some respects. Now, as we get a chance to wrap this up, if I'm still a 32-year-old dentist, David, I'm watching this and I'm like, I don't know, like what would be your parting thoughts or your last few things to say?
I mean, one is it's a no-brainer from a financial standpoint and a patient loyalty and compliance and treatment acceptance, and it just works. So, and I know there's some hurdles to get over that and understand that, but you know, one is we've seen it over and over and over again, and it works. I think the next thing is, and maybe it's a little bit of self-promotion, but if you want to get started, you want to learn, you can go to clear.com, set up a demo with one of our team members and learn more about it, ask questions. There's no commitment to it, right? If you have questions that you need answered, you can get them answered and things like that, and then figure out where you want to go from there. But that's one step to take if you want to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. For the benefit of our listeners on iTunes, now, one of the things that screwed me up is I was looking for Clear in the spelling that I know, but it's not spelled C-L-E-A-R. So give us, tell us where to find you if I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. So good point. It's Clear, K-L-E-E-R. So K-L-E-E-R.com. Go up there and you'll see a button right there if you want to book a demo. Then obviously, we got a lot of materials up there. We have case studies and we have white papers and ebooks and things like that if you want to get more information.
Yeah. And you were so gracious to offer us an ebook. And so I'm going to attach it to the show notes. And so what is it that you're going to put in there so that they can use as a reference or a guide?
So we're going to offer a free download on an ebook, and the ebook itself, it goes through some of the things we talked about today, but it's really why a membership plan is important to a practice and how to put a good membership plan in place and some of the things to think about when you're doing that. So it's a bit of what we talked about with probably more on the why to do it and the value of doing it.
Awesome. Awesome, buddy. Well, I love having you on. Every time I talk to you, I end up writing a lot of different things. Look at this. I got like 2 pages of notes already. So check it out. Clear, K-L-E-E-R. You got to check it out. And then I'm going to have you back again, Dave, on some other things as far as the details go. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you were watching or listening today and you enjoyed today, just do us a huge favor. Hit the share button. Share this with your friends. Get the word out there, because there are a lot of great things that can help dentists create a more fee-for-service practice and escape, you know, the challenges of sometimes being in a PPO environment. We're going to continue, like I said, have you back. So keep sending us suggestions or questions or things that you'd love to hear about from Dave and the Clear team. We'll have him back. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.